Brethren, as I grew up, I began preaching the gospel when I was yet but 13, going on 14 years of age. And suddenly I had three congregations that wanted my services in preaching the gospel. And so with the Nile Church and the Church at Philadelphia and the Church at Carthage, and later on the Church at Durant, Mississippi, they all thought I had a gift, and they loved to see the preachers preached in those days and times 45 minutes to an hour. Every service was done that way. If you didn't preach an hour service, you wasn't much of a preacher in that day and time I grew up. But I never had the criticism of repeating myself. I was always fresh with material and new material. And as a result of the training that I had from Brother Paul Sparks, I looked for the needs of people around me. And as a result of seeing those needs, I then fashioned lessons and illustrations from the Bible based upon those particular needs being met and how they could be, if they were sinful things, overcome, and how if they were good things, they could be continued on in a very faithful and good way. People seemed to love that and like that. I went to my home congregation at Nile and preached a gospel meeting there. Miss Jane and I had married. And the brethren there, I preached a 25-minute lesson. And I did what was commonly in rural Mississippi, the practice. And the old cow milkers and everything came out one by one at the building there at Nile, shook my hand, and they collected together in a little circle around me and said, "Brother Rawson, said, if you don't preach any more than that on Monday through Friday nights, said, we don't know if we're going to put our milk buckets down and come to just 25 minutes. They wanted me to go right on and preach just like the old time, preach that hour, that 45 minutes to an hour of time. And so I obliged them and I did that. And they were very complimentary. I, like I say, never been criticized for repeating things. And so gave them new and fresh material for that amount of time and everything. And Daddy invited people that worked with him to come. And they came, and I would write on the chalkboard back there, and I would point this out, point that out, and everything. And they were compliments to him, saying, "You have a son that has, you said he have a gift, and we see that gift, and it is really evident, really evident." They invited me to come back the following year and do a gospel meeting there, two in a row. And that wasn't uncommon if community liked somebody, enjoyed somebody, and so forth, to bring him back. I think it's a good idea, a wise idea. Doesn't mean that you do it every year for several years, but once or twice you come back the next year, the same thing. And so people were fresh in their mind. Yeah, he was here last year. They'd be tempted to come back again and hear the gospel message again. But this time was quite different. When I taught the class that particular morning, I taught the class as you do commonly, the hour-long class. And the sermon that I preached that day carried us up till noontime. And I got the impression by the reaction of people out in the audience that things had changed since the last year before. They were more restless. They were more shifting about. We didn't have cloth on the pews, and so I saw a few more shine places when they stood up to sing the closing song, and I was walking down the middle aisle. We always had paddle fans in the middle of the aisle, everything there at the Nile Church, always had that. And I could see that there were some shine spots on the pews where they had kind of moved around and shifted around a little bit, and some of the fresh wax that had been put on there for the meeting time and everything had been shined a little bit better. And so as they were coming out, I began to ask one to the other of those milkers there. They milk cows for the milk company, Louvale Milk Company. All they Jersey cows, and if you know about Jersey cows, you know that they emit a lot of milk. And if you milk them at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, you better milk them at 4 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon. Otherwise, they'll dry up on you in a hurry, and they won't give you anything. But they'll give you abundance if you milk them right. And so along the way, I got to asking them about the sermon and about that. And they said, "Oh, it was good. It was good. It was wonderful material and everything. But Brother Austin, people have changed a little bit." And so they didn't have to tell me anymore about going back to a 25 or 30 minute sermon. And that's what I automatically did. I determined at that time that when Sunday, April 1st, came about, when April 1st, sometimes every 7 or 8 years, it'll come about on a Sunday, I would proclaim a 45-minute sermon that evening for sure for everybody, because April 1st means that. So here we are about to go to it. Do you believe what we read this morning? Do you believe what's said there in Romans chapter 12 and down at verse number 5? When he tells us that we are brethren one of another, that there is a relationship that we have one with another that is unique in its right ways and everything is right about it if we work together in a common cause for good. Do we believe, as we read there in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, that we're to be kindly affectioned to everyone in the brotherhood, one to another, that we're sincerely to love each other? Do we believe the Lord at His word in that regard? In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8, we read that. Do we believe that? In Romans 14 and verse 13, we read, do not become a stumbling block to one another. Do we believe that we should not put out a foot in somebody's way and cause them to stumble, cause them to fall, cause them to not keep their pace going on, but we need to hurt them and harm them in some way? Do we really believe that this is the way it ought to be? And later on in Romans 14 and verse 19, edify one another, build up one another. Do we believe that we can say a word of encouragement, that we can say a word of encouragement and help that will really build up somebody and really build them up and make them do better than they ever have before? Give them a way in which they can do a prayer, do a song, do a sermon, do a class teaching, work with people in a better way as they go from place to place, inviting people to come and be a part of the worship service with them. Do we believe that we can edify our brethren one with another, as Paul writes there in that regard, in Romans 14 and verse 19? In Romans 16, verse 16, a passage to which we referred this morning, and said that we're to salute one another with a holy kiss. Do we believe that that love that we share one with another, that way of encouraging one another, a way of greeting? We today don't do a kiss in this particular culture. We shake hands enthusiastically. We pat on the back enthusiastically. And a person doesn't get the impression that he's not loved or not appreciated when you do that. When you meet up with people and you shake their hands well and you do good with them, it does good in return. That's what is said there in Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It is the case that all the congregations would love each other, no matter where they were, to care about each other in such a way. Do we believe that? Paul, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, will tell us that it is God who offered this word that he's proclaiming. Paul said, I didn't make it up. I didn't invent it. It didn't come from the mind of a man. It came because of the will of the God of heaven and the Holy Spirit sending the message of the Lord for me to teach to you and to show to you. And the message is from God. Do we believe God's word when he tells us that we're to be people who are members one of another, that we are to be kindly affectioned toward one another, that we're not to be a stumbling block for others, that we're to edify one another, and that we're to be people who salute one another with a holy kiss, enthusiastically greeting and meeting one another? Do we believe that that's the case? Because it's the word of God that we're turning down if we don't believe that. What a beautiful, beautiful study it can be. And I'm sure that 45 minutes devoted to this would be good. But since it's April Fool's Day, I believe the message is yours. And that's the purpose of our ideals today. We hope that you've enjoyed the studies today and the help. Tell others about the lesson this morning being on the internet system. And it's on there as of this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And they can enjoy and benefit maybe from that study as they go along. Certainly it'll be a non-defensive kind of thing. They won't have others to fuss at in person. They won't have a yeah, argument to be done. But it will be a wet matter where they can enjoy knowledge and teaching and may come to a conclusion different than what they have entered in their belief. We need to believe God. Believe God's word is important to our lives, and that's the way that he would have us to behave, and that's the way he would have us to do. The song is provided tonight to stand as an invitation song to invite us all to come back to Jesus if we're astray, or to come to the Lord, be baptized into Christ. The water is prepared, the clothing is ready, everything is for you to be obedient to the gospel and to become a part of this one another religion. The one another of edifying one another. The one another of saluting one another. The one another of being of help to each other as brethren. That's a wonderful way to live. Come as we stand and as we sing together.
I've wandered far away from God.
Now I'm coming home.
The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, and never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I chose
an under